verses 7 and 8. Check yourself. Be sure you're in fellowship. Announcement introduced by the statement of the reaction and the phenomena of the second advent, when Christ comes to earth and is visibly present, visible to the people all over the earth. This whole event will be seen. Behold, he is coming with clouds. We identified clouds as not literal white clouds, although there are dark clouds, that these are not clouds literally. It is the effect of the mass of people in resurrection bodies that make up the church age that are coming back with him. That's just mind-boggling. Not because God can't raise, he can raise a million people just as easy as he can raise one. That's not what I'm saying. Is that you got all this mass of humanity coming back. I've always asked myself the question, where are we going to put everybody? No, really. Whoa. But that's God's deal. I don't have to worry about it. All those questions of the how will be answered. We just need to know this kind of information. That he is coming with the clouds, a citation from the Old Testament, and every eye will see him. They'll see the event. Now, of course, Christ is going to be up there in the sky. So seeing him up close is one thing, and seeing him at a distance is another. So however he stands out from the rest, I don't know. But in any case, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. I gave you the word. This particular word for being sad or mourning is a strong verb in the Greek. Kopto is for not just being sad about something. This is a strong, strong word for grief. And so while you're hearing about this, the second advent, you think this is going to be a happy event. Not for the people on the earth. They're all going to have their individual reasons for being sad. All the tribes, subdivisions within a culture of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. They translated the Hebrew particle yes. Nai, N-A-I, that's how you say yes in Greek, nai. And then, of course, the transliterated amen, which is basically an assertion of I believe it. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Okay. First session, we were down on page 16 of your notes and dealing with the emotional consternation that will afflict the Jewish people. I'll pick up with the verb pierced, 42. This refers to the physical wounds Jesus suffered in connection with the crucifixion. These include the nail wounds in his hands, feet, stab wound in his side, under his heart, that the soldier did after he was physically deceased. His piercing and the Jewish witness are the same as the subject of Bible prophecy. Zechariah 12:10. They shall look on him whom they have pierced. This does not refer to his first advent and people who are bystanders and watching the cross event. this refers to the second advent. Now, let's think about the psychological impact on the Jewish race, the Jewish people of the world, in Israel and out. The psychological effect of knowing what they, as an extension of their ancestors, did. No, they didn't personally do it, but they've continued to reject him for all these centuries. There's not much difference between the two, and you perpetuate that and you wind up in the same place. It's like, here's Israel. They've got this promised, glorious Messiah and all the details. And of all the things you reject, you rejected him. It's like you just cut that out of the Bible and went with the rest of it. And your idea of a Messiah is not a suffering one, but of some glorious world ruler. They'll liberate you from all your enemies and blah, blah, which is true, but they got the horse before the cart. Those that believed he was the Messiah at the first advent were expecting him to set up the kingdom of David then and there. And they were reluctant in any talk, any mention of him suffering and going to this cross. The disciples recoiled from it. Peter especially. And I'll fight for you to the end, blah, blah, blah. Fake loyalty. Fake loyalty. It's not for God's servants to fight now. It's to stand down and let the process continue. But they all scurried off into hiding. So when Christ comes back, it's going to have an unbelievable psychological effect on the Jews. I'm wondering today, you know, there's these evangelicals that are cozying up with Israel. You see it in all Israel news. You see it. And they write articles. Because all Israel news is not from a strictly Jewish perspective. It's from an evangelical perspective and reporting stories and events that occur daily. I wonder, well, I don't, but. And they're buddy buddies with the leadership and the Jewish leadership. They're unbelievers. And of all the people that ought to know better, they ought to know better. They're the people of the book. Not that all Jews believe the Old Testament. It's just that their history has been that. And these leaders, and some of they have it right that this land is ours by divine decree through Abraham. They got that right. But you missed the centerpiece. You dummies. Your true Messiah. Your prophets. You would say those are your prophets in the Old Testament, wouldn't you? So go find a prophet that says where the Messiah was going to be born. Under humble circumstances. And the exact location, the exact little village that he was born in. Least of all the little towns in that part of Judea. Bethlehem. So, why are the evangelicals, you know, Paul and Peter, they were trying to win these people over so they would turn, but they didn't pull any punches. And you're right out there, and you're the ones. Now, you can take this too far. And there are those Christian groups who have taken this too far. You're the murderers of Jesus, so we can treat you like crap and go off and carry on. No. I don't go there. But the Jews need to know, this is what you did. This is what your ancestors did. And you're a product of it. You are a product of it, even though you were born many centuries down the line. You're a product of your ancestors who who repudiated your glorious Messiah, whom God is going to give a name above every name, and the whole world and everybody that ever lived is going to recognize who He is. It's not going to do the unbelievers any good. It's called the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. Because of what He went through, what He endured, His SG3 is, I'm going to give you a name above every name. You're going to be at the top. And rightly He should be. He set an example for us. He lived under humble circumstances. He was physically, he was verbally abused. And there were those trying to kill Him. He hadn't done anybody any harm. The only thing He ever harmed was a fig tree. Oh yeah, He cleansed the temple a couple times. The Jews didn't even get that one right. In fulfillment of prophecy. So, 46, the anguish and mourning of Zechariah 12 is most certainly emotional consternation on the part of believing Jews at the second advent. You think they'd all be happy, right? They believed in the trib, and now here He is. It strikes them psychologically. There's probably a term for it. It strikes them psychologically. That their ancestors in this whole history, and you missed this? It's a part of your history. You know, people report their own history and have their own historians, and they'll leave out stuff that's not going to make them look good. The United States is good at that. But the Old Testament pulls no punches, and the New Testament pulls no punches, and it tells the way it is with people. Paul has a statement in one of his letters that sounds very anti-Semitic. He says they're the enemy of all mankind. What's an enemy? There's different types of enemies. It's because they didn't uphold their heritage, their true heritage. They didn't uphold it in the presence of the Gentile world. They were designed in Old Testament times to be a priest nation and present the gospel to any interested Gentile nations out there. Well, they're an enemy because they're not preaching Christ, the true Messiah. That's where you're an enemy of the human race, if you're promoting false doctrine. But that doesn't give that the extremist that says, okay, the Jews are the murderers of Jesus, so we can treat them bad in captivity. No. And it doesn't overrule any of the promises about giving Abraham and his seed, his righteous seed, the land. So all the people get on the wrong side of these things to various degrees. It's interesting to observe. Oh, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Okay. The peace of Jerusalem is the millennium. If you're praying for peace for them over there now, that isn't going to... There may be a temporary lull in military activity, but they're going to be involved in war and conflict all the way to the second advent, where Jesus will deliver them from all the nations that are gathered in there to wipe them out, to overwhelm them. And He will personally take them all down in a bloodbath. So, no, good Jews, bad Jews, moral Jews, immoral Jews, banker Jews, corrupt rabbis, all of it. So what? That's all going to be washed away in the end. Well, they've done more evil and have less of a population than all these other nations. Oh, even if it's true, write all your books. Run around all over and put article after article on rents.com, where they actually flip the whole script and make the Gazans look like the good guys. most of their authors. They do. They like they ignore all the atrocities of the terrorists. It's pitiful. Oh, I'm sure there are war crimes committed by individual Jews. You don't get into big wars without somebody, even if you're on the good side, doing something corrupt. You got human nature out there. And the Gazans are suffering by association because they let those Hamas people get control of their government. And even if it wasn't for the Hamas, they're taught in their schools. Their curriculum, little kids, learning to read and all that, they are taught to hate Jews. And in other words, you can do what you want to do. Yeah. And so a little kid is raised up in that environment. There's occasionally I've seen examples of some of them who broke with it and became believers in Jesus Christ and not anti-Jewish, because they had eyes to see and to realize that all we're involved in is a murderous, hate-filled culture that says it's okay to go into Israel and commit an act of terrorism to innocent civilians in a shopping mall. Yeah. So the Gazans are cursed by association. Besides, Gaza is that land, that area of the Philistines in the Old Testament, the different towns of the Philistines. That area is a part of the Abrahamic covenant land. And of course, the people over the east of Jerusalem, the Jordanians, they're squatters. Israel had a war with them in 1967 and gained control of Jerusalem for the first time since 70 AD. So the world's going to get slapped in the face. This is the promised land and the true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, believers and racially Jews, they're going to inherit this. And there'll be a generation of them that'll step over into the millennium and start up a whole country that'll be the greatest country on earth in all the terms that you call greatness. Okay. Here, point 47, the mourning is expanded to include all the tribes of the earth. A tribe is a subdivision of a nation, such as the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in America, we're the melting pot, we've intermarried and everything, but we have still had distinct ethnic and racial groups within our country. You know, that's where the Irish all live. Well, these people came over from Europe and they're this and that. So we have it a little bit. But in other countries, they had a tribal breakdown, heads of the various subdivisions. I'm not a student of that. I never studied that. Only a student of the origin of the 12 tribes of Israel. They each had their own territory to live in when they were in the land and so forth. So that's a tribe. We see it with American Indians, you know, the different tribes that existed. So when it becomes unequivocally clear that Christ is about to establish his rule over the earth, there will be great consternation among Jews and Gentiles for good and bad reasons, for the right and the wrong reasons. For those who are negative, it will spell their doom. You've had it, and you're looking right in the face of it. You're still alive, but you're not willing to believe, but you know you've had it. Amazing, isn't it? Normal people go into survival mode. Do what you got to do. And all through the tribulation, as we'll study, they've been evangelized, these nations, by Jews. Second half of the tribulation, 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be spirited around all over the earth, transported like when Stephen was transported to the guy in the chariot, a treasure to a queen in Africa. He was brought right down by his chariot. So these men will be spirited all over, because you can't travel around. They can walk into any place. Nobody can stop them. And they're in natural bodies. Just like God protected the two witnesses for the first 3.5 years. You don't think snipers would go out there and try to take them down? Because they will have enemies, both Jewish and Gentile. Because they're going to make pronouncements of environmental judgments. We'll get to it. Moses and Elijah, the two Old Testament miracle-working prophets. Most of the prophets, they didn't do miracles. But Moses and Elijah did. So they're going to bring environmental judgments. Oh my, will they be hated worldwide? The first half of the tribulation, comparatively, is tame compared to the second half. It's like turning the heat up on your stove until you get it on high. They will mourn in the most extreme fashion that they could have had it differently. For believing Jews, they will mourn for an entirely different reason. But it will be no less intense. They'll get past it. But they're going to have a psychological effect that's incredible on their souls. It's like, we did what? And we have perpetuated this for 2,000 years. In all of our synagogues and all of our places of worship and all this place. And can you not put two and two together? I'd like to ask these evangelicals, why did the Jews get kicked out of the land the last time? Back in 70 AD. What was their overriding sin? They rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they were driven into the nations, and they suffered out there. Some of it was their own doing, some of it was the doing of Gentiles. In cases where Gentile rulers, I read some king, France or something, he kicked all the Jews out of his land. And it says in the law that this is what you're going to suffer out there. You brought it on yourself. But there's a way out of it for you individually, just like there is today. There's a way out of the corrupt culture of America. And it's gotten corrupt. And continues. Like a cancer. To eat at the body politic. And all the things they're trying to address with the economy and everything. It's a spiritual problem. And we won't turn away from it. So for all the conservative, rah, rah, rah types, well, you're going to be completely disappointed. See, we haven't been doing anything legally for a long time on these big events. We get into wars and we don't even follow the Constitution. Wave our flag and rah, 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 rah. They were out there defending my freedom. What? I was under no threat from the Vietnamese and the Viet Cong. They didn't do anything to me. I didn't feel any threat, and they weren't going to come over here in ships or anything. The elite got you sucked into this. And I was in a church that promoted it constantly. for young guys to go join up like it was a spiritual thing. And they were doing it. Instead of just sitting in Bible class and learning doctrine, let the cosmos take care of itself and run around out here. They didn't like us pointing out that you're doing this illegally by your own rules. You didn't declare war. There was no declaration and vote. And they're doing this to this day, sending weapons to Ukraine and Israel and all the rest of it. This is what America is supposed to be doing? Now we're in a trade war. Tariff war. Economic war. Well, that ought to turn out real nice. Oh, the price of this is going to go up. Oh, okay. It's like scaring people that there's not going to be enough toilet paper. And you're not going to be able to afford eggs. I just laugh at that stuff. God is my caretaker. Oh yeah, some businesses are going to go under. Like some business that all that 90% of their toys for kids come from China. They're probably going to go under. But we tied ourselves into this web, didn't we? And we've been doing it for all this time. You don't just get up and say, we're going to do all this. We'll see. I don't know where all the things are going to go with America between now and its doom. It may have another economic shot in the arm. And they'll wave their patriotic flags and everything because money is their god. Materialism. So the same verb, kopto, is used in Revelation 18:9. I told you it was the strongest one we can find for emotional distress. For the reaction of international leaders and merchants who witness the overthrow of the United States. All right, I'll see you next time. We're going to have the Lord's table, and after that, we're going to have the monthly deacons meeting. Okay.